it looks like this global recession, I think it's going to be much worse than the mainstream thinks. I think the global economy was much more fragile even before the COVID lockdowns, and it's hidden from plain view because so many people think it's impossible for there to be high inflation with a recession. You know, recessions are deflationary. High inflation comes from an economic boom. So we can't be in a recession because the US labor market is strong and inflation is high. I think these are mistakes. So I think we're in a recession now, and I think that the recession deniers will be shown wrong by mid-year this year.
This is Kaiser Johnson with Liberty in Finance, and this is the Miles Franklin Weekly Special for February 14th through February 21st, 2023, while supplies last. This week we feature the 4.9's fine Nadir Refinery 10-ounce silver bars at just $2.30 over spot per ounce, and 2022 Mint Fresh 1-ounce Canadian silver maples at only $3.45 over spot. Frequently, you have to choose between high-volume bars like 1,000-ounce bars to get exceptionally low premiums, or pay a higher premium for more liquidity and increased purity. But these Nadir 10-ounce bars are not only 4.9's fine, some of the highest purity available, but also maintain a greater level of liquidity, all at the low premium of just $2.30 over spot per ounce while supplies last. They come individually numbered and are available in any quantity, and come 50 to a box. Our second special this week features 2022 silver maples at $3.45 over spot. Silver maples were the first silver sovereign coins to be minted at 4.9's fine purity, and remain one of the most in-demand coins today. They come 25 to a tube, 500 to a box, and are available at the lowest premium we've seen in more than a year, at just $3.45 over spot. Both our specials this week are IRA eligible, and if you'd like to learn more about a precious metals IRA, call us, and we'll be happy to help you in that process. To order these specials or any of the many other options we have available, call us at 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237. We're available after hours and on weekends, and we look forward to speaking with you.
Hey everyone, this is Elijah K. Johnson with Liberty and Finance. And back with us today is our good friend Lobo Tigre, the independent speculator. Lobo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to be back on the show, Elijah.
Well, it's great to have you. And I did want to discuss what we're seeing in gold, silver, and uranium right now. You're just at the Vancouver Natural Resource Conference, and you were talking about how it's really important to discuss or kind of focus on what is happening right now instead of, you know, kind of talking about what maybe could happen in the future. If you could discuss what is happening right now in those three sectors, because they're moving right now.
Well, that's the key point right there. They're moving right now. So that is, as our friend Rick Rule likes to say, you know, some of my greatest mistakes have been confusing the inevitable with the imminent. You get fascinated by some big idea like central banks are hoarding gold so that they can re-monetize gold and put it back into circulation, or, you know, something like that. The war on cash is going to be good for gold. But these things, they're big ideas. They might even be true or right at some point in time, but they don't inform our investment decisions now. They don't. You can be convinced, for example, my big example of this is so many of us free marketeers were absolutely convinced that the internal contradictions of the Soviet Union must lead to its collapse, but it lasted 70 years. I mean, it was contradictory all the way right up to the end. We don't need to flog that to death, but it is something I think that investors need to be aware of. You know, particularly somebody hits us with some idea that makes sense to us. We want to believe it. Like those evil central bankers, right? You can blame anything on them. It sounds great. But be very, very cautious of, you know, that therefore you need to buy this one tiny little mining stock that only I know about in my newsletter or whatever it is. So I like to focus. The other little caveat here is that, well, it's not inevitable that someday gold will become the new gold standard and in circulation again. The dangerous argument is that it's imminent, right? Oh, this is going to happen and you need to be ready before. Well, but if it doesn't happen for 10 years, there's a lot of opportunity cost in that being ready too soon. So that's why I focus on what's happening now. And even though gold is causing people nerves again as we speak this week, You know, the fact is that gold has had a great run over the last couple of months. That's for reasons, I think, that are identifiable. And I think those reasons haven't changed. Though, to be fair, there is new data that we're getting right now. So it's an interesting time to be looking at it. But quick summary of the thesis is gold and therefore silver are on the move. That's happening now. I am looking to add, have been, there's a specific item on my shopping list I've been looking to add right now in that space. And uranium is also happening now. People are very frustrated that the price has gone sideways over the last few months. But sideways is great compared to most commodities, which have retreated over the last few months. And again, looking at the big picture there for uranium, I mean, come on, give me a break. It's been going up for 5 years in a very volatile pattern. So what's happening right now is completely consistent with that overall trend. You know, the fundamentals, I'm not a TA, but my TA friends tell me that the fundamentals remain very strong uranium. The technicals remain as strong as the fundamentals, which is a great thing to have going. And it's certainly, as far as thorium goes, you know, with Eastern Europe, the troubles there, Western Europe pivoting back, even Greta Thunberg talking about Germany keeping its reactors on. This is definitely an idea whose time has come. So those are my three highest conviction trades for right now. Everything else, I want to be data dependent in a proper way of doing that. So where do you want to go from there, Elijah?
No, I think that's fantastic. And I guess if we look at the fundamentals right now, if you can dive deeper into what is making precious metals move, if we want to start with precious metals, because we have seen quite a bit of a rise recently. We've seen a bit of a pullback here, but the overall trend seems up. So what are the fundamentals right now driving those?
Well, it's a little bit tricky, not because I don't have an answer, but because the answer is wrong, or like it shouldn't be the answer. And of course, that is the number one driver over the last year, you know, very much over the last year since the invasion of Ukraine, has been directly the DXY. And that might make sense. Well, gee, gold is priced in dollars, or as I like to express it, it's the gold dollar exchange ratio. So the fate of the dollar, which rose last year and then fell, you know, of course, that mirrors gold. Except that over the longer term, over the last 50 plus years, since Tricky Dick Nixon slammed the gold window shut and severed the last remnant of a connection between the dollar and gold, it's really been real rates, interest rates, in particular real rates, that have been the most explanatory, not the only variable, but the most explanatory variable in the gold-dollar exchange ratio. So we've been in an aberrant situation recently. I think it has to do with the fact that rates were so are manipulated, not secretly manipulated, but openly manipulated by the central banks, that they lost their value as a market signal. And that's why, this is a theory, I can't prove this, Mr. Market, I can't get him on the phone and ask him. But my thesis is that since the interest rates became, you know, noise or not useful information, traders started focusing more directly on the DXY. And that was bad for gold after the invasion of Ukraine. That was good for gold starting last fall when the Fed started leading the way in central bank easing. And that takes us to what's happening now, my favorite theme. So what's happening now is I still think that's there, that I still think it's the dollar's turn to generally head lower, at least over the first half of this year. I think even though there are, you know, different signs and currents here, the noise right now, you know, the markets are very afraid that the Fed's going to remain higher for longer. I mean, they've been saying that, but even higher for even longer than the markets had been pricing in. Has nothing to do with gold at all. This is why I called the DXY the wrong trousers. It's completely irrelevant. But that makes these traders focus on the DXY and this perception that the Fed might be even higher for even longer. Well, that's supposedly bullish dollar, which has been, you know, taking the monetary metals down for a bit. Now, one more thing, and I'll let you go with the next question, Elijah. But this is really pivotal for right now. I don't know how long you'll take to post this, but right now we've got new data that is bolstering this higher, even higher for even longer thing, even as there's been some improvement at long last in the inflation story across the pond over in Europe. So part of the thesis is this reverse dollar milkshake thesis of, you know, the Fed led the way in tightening. The Fed's going to lead the way in easing. the Europeans will still be tighter for longer. Therefore, the DXY would go down, and that would be good for gold and silver. But if that narrative is starting to change, if it looks like the dollar might be a little bit stronger than we thought, and there's signs that Europe might be loosening sooner than we thought, then that would be a direct attack on this, you know, reverse dollar milkshake thesis, and the thesis that gold and silver should go up in the first half of this year, as long as they remain directly correlated to the DXY. I got to say, I can't ignore the data. I can't be less data dependent than anybody else, right? And this is data, and it is shaking that thesis a bit. I don't think it's broken it, though, yet. And a little bit of reduction of inflation over in Europe is not a lot. I mean, in the UK, we just got 10.1%. Oh, that's a great improvement, but it's still double-digit inflation. And, you know, the Germans' harmonized inflation came down to 9.2. It's still pretty darn close to double-digit inflation. So I think the traders may be getting a little bit ahead of themselves here. Or if anybody's coming to the conclusion now that, oh, the dollar's going to be strong again, the Fed's going to be much tighter for much longer, and the Europeans are going to loosen, and therefore the dollar should rise, I think that's very premature. Can't say it won't happen. I don't think it will. I'm betting that it won't. I don't know that it won't, but I will be watching this very closely. But that's what's happening right now. I think the thesis is intact, but we have to be watching very carefully now, because, you know, if real numbers come in that suggests that the Fed will have to, you know, go back to 50s or something while the ECB is looking at maybe stepping down from 50s, I think that would reverse the reverse dollar milkshake thesis. It would be something to be aware of.
Now, how should then people be looking at the precious metals right now if they're looking to continue to accumulate? Would you say that, I mean, we have seen a bit of a pullback here, so it seems like a good time to buy, but it sounds like we could be headed lower if the dollar does reverse to the upside.
Yeah, well, no, but that's a completely different question. I'm talking about, you know, as a stock speculator, I'm the independent speculator. I don't speculate on gold and silver. I save in gold and silver. I buy bullion to stash, and I won't tell you where I do my midnight gardening. Hint, I live in a condo. I don't have a garden. But, you know, that's a completely different thing. I save in gold and silver, particularly gold. Sorry, silver bugs. That's my Darth Silver thesis there. I've got enough silver. I don't need to fill a closet with it. It's too much. So if it's relatively on sale and I have money that I'm happy to put away for the longer term, that's a reason to buy. Whether I think it might go lower or higher or whatever, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, an ounce of gold is an ounce of gold. It is a financial long for which there is no short. You can look it up on my website, In Defense of Hard Money. I have personal life experience of monetary metals, you know, saving my bacon in time of dire need. I've also used them, by the way, in time of opportunity. An interesting real estate opportunity came my way a while back, and I took some profits, if you want to call them that. But I dipped into my savings, as the reality as I see it. So completely, I don't care about the trends or the DXY or what's going on as far as buying bullion goes. That's savings, and I want to do it whenever it's convenient and opportune for me.
And when it comes to speculating on mining stocks and the resource sector, right now, are you looking to kind of just hold off from purchasing or start dipping your toes again in the water here?
Depends on which. For gold and silver, I would be a buyer now, especially if I were new to the space or if I didn't have a full portfolio. I have a pretty full portfolio. I've actually been looking for a rally to do a little bit of pruning. You know, out with the old, in with the new, just to keep it manageable. But certainly if I were still building a portfolio in new space, I'd absolutely be looking at what's still on sale. As is, I'm looking really hard for a great silver stock that I don't, you know, that I have overlooked or somehow misjudged, or maybe has found better results than I expected to add to my portfolio. Other than that, I'm actually looking for opportunities to average down on the stocks that I already have, because I like them a lot. If I can't find something better and they're on sale, then why not just increase my stake in the ones that I do like? That's something I'm quite willing to do now. And then the other one is uranium. If there's a great uranium stock that I've overlooked, or there's one that gives me a chance, you know, to buy it again and lower my cost basis, I would do that right now. Other things, I'm particularly bullish on copper, you know, longer term over the decades ahead. I think copper is probably my favorite speculation, even more than uranium. But, you know, it looks like this global recession, I think it's going to be much worse than the mainstream thinks. I think the global economy was much more fragile even before the COVID lockdowns. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong, Elijah, but I just can't see this soft landing or even no landing they're talking about now. There's a lot of people out there on mainstream financial media talking about, oh, everything's fine. Labor market's so strong. Everything's going to be great. There's going to be no recession at all, not even mild and short. I understand the data that they're looking at that's prompting them to say that, but I think it's naively optimistic, verging on delusional, and I'm betting against that. So, you know, it's really hard to buy copper or any industrial metal ahead of a recession because they always get whacked. And the way I've been expressing it is I think the world is already in recession and it's deepening. I mean, just look at the weakness around. And it's hidden from plain view because so many people think it's impossible for there to be high inflation with a recession. You know, recessions are deflationary. High inflation comes from an economic boom. So we can't be in a recession because the U.S. labor market is strong and inflation is high. I think these are mistakes. So I think we're in a recession now. And I think that the recession deniers will be shown wrong by mid-year this year. This is not a someday prediction, Elijah. You're not only going to make predictions, but if either I'm wrong or the recession deniers are wrong, and that can't go on forever. So I think that gets resolved by mid-year. And I think that'll be very good for all of our speculations. I think we'll be, are eventually, you know, gold, silver, and uranium maybe now. But industrial metals, I just can't, you know, I'm not buying anything in that space, not even my favorites in that space, not until I see that the brown stuff has really hit the fan with that recession.
And on industrial metals, you have recently talked about platinum and palladium. A lot of people do see platinum kind of as a precious metal, but you see it more as an industrial metal, very much separate. And the whole argument that platinum is below gold's price, you know, about half gold's price right now, so it should rise, you're not buying that right now. Can you explain why?
Yeah, well, this isn't new, and this is why I never use the term, or, you know, I slap myself if I use the term precious metals, because that's confusing. You know, gold and silver, and actually copper at times, you know, have circulated as money. They're recognizable, they're instantly recognizable and usable as money. The things that look like silver, like palladium or platinum, are more expensive than silver. So nobody's going to give you a fake silver coin made out of platinum. If they gave it to you made out of tin or aluminum, you would instantly recognize it, right? So even if you're not a metallurgist, anybody can tell the difference between tin and silver. So there really isn't something that you can easily sneak in for gold, silver, or copper. And I think that's part of why they've been used as monetary metals for thousands of years. Just because something is expensive, that doesn't make it, I mean, okay, so maybe it's precious. It doesn't make it a monetary metal. Platinum is never circulated as currency. Certainly not palladium or, you know, rhodium or whatever you want to pick. So I think that's important. And you could say, oh, well, you know, the gold and silver don't circulate either. Who cares? Well, no, we do care because they trade and you see them respond to financial events like money. You see them respond in opposition to the DXY, for example. You see them respond as a financial asset, as a monetary metal should. Whereas we see platinum and palladium, these others respond directly to automotive news, you know, industrial news impacts these prices. So briefly, the thesis particularly for platinum is that the use case has changed. This is an industrial metal. And yes, you can resubstitute platinum for palladium, but it's not done easily. And you can't just put a platinum catalytic converter where there used to be a palladium one. They operate at different temperatures. You have to change your production line, not just the chemical composition of your catalyst there. So it's not so easy. And, you know, the EV adoption, I know everybody, I agree that we're not going to be all electric by 2030. But the fact still remains that the world is charging in that direction. And prices are determined at the margin. So this is a serious question for the demand going forward for platinum. And I'm not convinced that platinum will ever be more expensive than gold or have a higher dollar exchange ratio than gold again. The use case, I think, has changed. And then, you know, quickly on palladium, I think that got ahead of itself. I haven't looked at it today. The last time I did look at it, it was back under the price of gold. It may fluctuate. It's highly volatile. It may go up and down again, because I do know that we're going to need, gas burning engines for some years ahead. But, you know, that's really starting to change that narrative too. So I'm not saying either of them can't go up. I'm just not willing personally to speculate on any stocks relating to either of those.
And when it comes to, again, what is happening now, it seems like there's a lot of speculation out there about different things in the gold sector. For example, central bank buying gold, that is happening now, but you have talked about how it's unclear the impact that has on investment decisions. Can you expand on that and any other kind of talk in the gold sector that you think might not be actually clearly impactful to investment decisions?
Let's just keep the thesis in mind. Anytime somebody hits you with this big idea, and therefore you have to buy this stock now, you need to make sure that the connection between, you know, the war on cash, the war on gold, the central bank digital currency, or whatever this big theme is, you know, why does that mean I have to buy this stock now? Or why even does it mean I have to buy gold now? And particularly for the central bank question, there was a lot of hubbub, as I'm sure you recall, and we probably talked about, over the Basel III rules going into place. And, you know, there were several deadlines there, and they came and went and did nothing. There was no impact on the gold-dollar exchange ratio at all. And so anybody who bought, well, if they bought bullion and they saved it, I think they're going to be fine. That's savings. Doesn't matter. But if they bought some volatile gold stock, particularly some junior gold stock, because, you know, in January, Basel III was going to be finally fully implemented and the bank central banks were going to pivot and gold was going to go to $10,000. That was wrong. That wasn't, you know, that's not early. That's wrong, Elijah. That didn't happen. And so, you know, any of these big ideas, I didn't prepare a list before this interview, so I'm not sure I have a few more to draw out of my pocket. But I think most of the audience is familiar with the kind of idea that I'm talking about. So this, you know, why explains everything, this worldview kind of theses. Now, the happening now part of your question is, you know, the central banks have been buying more, you know, record amount in H2 2022. This is significant. It is interesting. I'm not dismissing that. But look who's buying. It's certainly not the United States, or, you know, Canada hasn't decided to go long gold again. Right. It's been countries that have reason to be largely. It's been countries that have reason to be nervous about the approval of the United States government and its minions. Maybe its voters, too. The kind of people that wouldn't want to be cut out of the SWIFT system branded as part of the axis of evil, say Turkey, for example, or other people who don't toe the line. So I think it's interesting. It's probably more interesting to me than the Basel III hubbub. Like this actually is happening. They are buying. And at the very least, it does bring a bigger amount of buying to the table. And that is relevant to the balance of the trade. And it should be, I think, more important perhaps to the traders who look only at the DXY. And maybe on a daily basis it isn't, but that could be, I think, part of the explanation for why gold held up better than it did when the dollar was rallying last year. Remember, we've had this little tailwind recently, last couple of months, because the dollar went down, gold went up. But for most of 2022, the dollar was rallying strongly. And by the way, interest rates were also curving back up, still negative, but they stopped becoming more negative, started becoming less negative. And that change of direction normally in the past would have really hit gold, you know, hard. Maybe not down for the count, but it would have taken gold down to the mat, at least, you know, on the initial blow. And so for gold to be more or less sideways over 2022, in light of those things, I think is outperformance in the first place. And I think it's partly to do with this central bank buying. So I'm not saying it's not important. But, you know, does that mean that next month, Elijah, they're going to come out and with a new BRICS gold-backed currency or something? No. I mean, that might happen. But if it did, I think it'd take 5 or 10 years, and it'd probably take a lot more trouble before we got there. So, yeah, that's another one of these big stories. Oh, the BRICS are going to come out with a gold-backed currency. Might even be true, Elijah. But it doesn't tell me what to buy now, and it doesn't tell me how my portfolio is going to do this year. And while it's nice to sit here and say, oh, well, I'm a long-term investor. Yeah, but, you know, not many people have the patience to invest and ignore, you know, 50% haircuts on their way to nirvana 5 or 10 years from now.
Now, another thing that is happening now, before we let you go, if we can discuss the news we got out with the CPI just a few days ago, slightly higher than expected, higher than the month previously, and also retail sales numbers. Do these give any indication to you about, as you mentioned, that you think we're in a recession right now and we're going to be going worse? Your perspective on all that?
I was thinking about that before this interview, Elijah, like how much data like this would it take me to change my position? Because I'm not changing my position now. I still see the world in a recession. I don't see the U.S. as immune to the recession. I don't think the U.S. jobs report from 2 Fridays ago was as fantastic as let on, and not just because of the seasonal adjustments. I think if you look at the retail, all of these, you look under the hood of these things, the retail sales, woohoo, retail sales came in stronger than expected. But most of it was in like food. And you look at, well, who's selling food? It's not Chez Louis' fancy French restaurant. It's McDonald's. It's Burger King reported record traffic. And the implication of that is people are downgrading. This is actually important. We're not just talking about abstract inflation out there. Inflation, really, why it matters is it's the cost of living. And people are adjusting their standard of living. If people who used to go to an Applebee's even, or you know, a TJ Fridays or something, and now they're going to McDonald's and Burger King, that is a step down in quality of life, Elijah. That is a direct consequence of increased cost of living. That and you know, CPI, okay. It came in slightly, let's straighten that out. It came in slightly less, right? 6.5 or 5.6. Both the headline and the core were down very slightly, 0.1%. But the monthly change was up. And again, if you look at what came down and what didn't, and now we have the Fed talking about, not only are we going to exclude food and energy, you know, those aren't important. Now we're going to exclude housing because that's too volatile too. It's like the most important things in life, we're going to exclude those from what we're guiding. You know, that's basically throwing the average person under the bus. So if we look at what, a little bit under the hood, you don't have to be a policy wonk to look at the components of CPI, look at the components of the retail sales, look what's selling more. And by the way, retail sales, sorry, I'm jumping back and forth here. Retail sales are not adjusted for inflation. So even with that beat on retail sales, in absolute terms, you know, people paid more, took less home. So it's not like people are buying more. Lump it all together. I'm saying that there are reasons to be skeptical of these data points, which seem to imply that maybe the United States is in a healthier economic position than it is. Now, again, either I'm wrong and we'll find out in the months ahead, or I'm right and Team Soft Landing, let alone No Landing, they're wrong and we'll find out in the months ahead. So I guess maybe the takeaway for the audience is, if you've been scratching your head about this and wondering, could I be, you know, could we be wrong? Could we, skeptics of all these crazy things that the Treasury, the Fed, the, you know, the Congress, all these things they've done, can it really be that they can escape their unintended consequences? So for the free marketeers out there who believe in unintended consequences, my answer is no, I don't think there's a get out of jail free card here. There's no such thing in the economy, in the real world. The piper can be put off for some time. It can be fooled. It can be misdirected, look the other way. But at the end of the day, reality does matter. It'll take a while for the pig to squeeze through the python. But the things that have been done over the last 2 years, let alone since 2008, they will have their consequences. And unless we're on death's bed, I think, unfortunately, we'll get to see those consequences. You know, unfortunately, because a lot of people are going to get hurt, Elijah. You know, if we're positioned, hopefully we won't, and we'll be able to help those around us. But I don't want to take over Dr. Doom's mantle here, but I don't think we're getting out of jail free here, Elijah.
Well, that's part of the reason why we're here, so we can be aware and prepared. But Lobo, we really appreciate your time today. Any last thoughts before we let you go, and where can our viewers find you online?
Last thought would be, you know, when I say data dependent, I don't mean it like the Fed. I think the Fed uses that as meaning we're not going to commit to anything and we can decide whatever we want. That's not what I mean. What I mean by data dependent is I have a thesis, I have a goal, and I have investments. I've got cash on the table now based on this. But I can't just stick my head in the sand. If we actually get data, consistent, confirmable, meaningful data that tells me that I'm wrong, I can't ignore that because it's not what I want to hear. So that's what I mean. So take that for whatever it's worth. And if you want to hear more about my analysis and what I think, you know, of the data, then please come to independentspeculator.com, sign up for our free weekly digest. If you do, I promise we will not spam you with a flood of daily advertisements. We don't do that. You get one email per week.
Fantastic. IndependentSpeculator.com is the website. People can go there, find it in the description. And once again, thank you so much, Lobo, for your time, and God bless.
Thank you, Elijah.
Miles Franklin Precious Metals is one of America's oldest and most trusted bullion dealers. Miles Franklin is A-plus rated and accredited by the Better Business Bureau, licensed and bonded, and has zero complaints ever registered. Here at Liberty and Finance, we are licensed brokers with Miles Franklin. To order, simply call us, discuss your needs, and we can let you know our live inventory, prices, and availability, and lock in your order over the phone. Once your order is locked, the price is held for you regardless of market fluctuations, and the metals are reserved for you awaiting your settled payment. Within one business day of ordering, you will receive an email invoice detailing the order and payment instructions. Miles Franklin accepts payments by bank wire, ACH or electronic check, money order, check mailed priority mail, and cryptocurrency. The fastest forms of payment are bank wire and cryptocurrency. Upon settled payment, metals will ship out within 3 to 5 business days. You will receive tracking information via email. Domestic shipping charges are $15 for any order under 500 ounces of silver or 10 ounces of gold. For orders larger than that, domestic shipping is free. The package will be boxed, fully insured, and labeled discreetly, with no indication of the contents inside. For your privacy, the name Miles Franklin will not even be on the package. To talk to myself, Kaiser, my brother Elijah, or my father Dunnigan, call 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237.